It's Rima Afternoons with Tom and Di. Now, the Reverend Peter Harris is the international founder of Arosha. Arosha, if you don't know, is a global organisation that exists to live out God's calling to care for creation and equip others to do likewise. Peter joins us in the studio today to talk about the story behind Arosha. Welcome.
Thanks very much.
Kia ora.
Yeah, it's great to have you here.
It's great to have you here and also in the country, I understand. So Arosha, when you look at the story, going back to the early 80s and doing work internationally, and maybe Peter, first of all, would be good to hear the story about how you came to be with us here in New Zealand for the show and the trip here.
Yeah, thanks. Well, we began in Portugal in 1983 with a bird observatory and a field study centre. Of course, it was before the internet. And we were working very locally. We didn't really go anywhere for 12 years, but people started to find us from around the world. And then the word got out, and slowly other Arosha projects, Arosha means the rock in Portuguese, but we kept the name wherever it went, they started to get people. And I think the first connection actually to New Zealand, Aotearoa, came when some people from here visited our Kenyan centre and were quite inspired by what they saw, the work going on in the coastal forest there, and also that combination of Christian community and hospitality and an integrated approach to conservation that really looked after the local community as well. And I think the message then came back from there. And finally, one of the key people in our Lebanese team for a while was Richard Story, who's a hydrologist who was working with NIWA, I think, before he went to work with us in Lebanon. So people found their way back here with experience of Arosha elsewhere. That's the short story. And then they started thinking, well, what can we do here?
Peter, I'd love to hear your heart. I mean, how did this start for you? Why did you get into this area of caring for creation? Have you always loved nature?
Yeah, I think I have, and I have no explanation of that. I was born on the edge of a big industrial city, Birmingham. Mm-hmm. Nobody in my family was particularly nature-minded. A lot of people in conservation tell the same story. They can't explain it. But essentially in my adult life, I was trying to reconcile, if you like, a passion for, call it nature, but in my case, ornithology, really, birds. And also an equal concern that none of my environmental friends ever darkened the door of a church. Mm. And if they did, they would never hear anything inside that church about what's essentially core business for Christians, which is we are to care for creation. It's what it means to be human from Genesis right the way through to the redemptive calling of Christians in the New Testament to bless creation. So, yeah, I think it was trying to bring those two things together, but in a practical way. I mean, there's a long backstory, you can imagine.
Yeah, again.
But that's the bones of it. And it took practical expression when an Anglican missionary society with whom my wife and I were already contracted to go to work back in Africa where she'd partly grown up, didn't really know what to do with us because the bishop wanted to send our kids to boarding school very young, and we'd both done that. We weren't really up for that at the age of six, in fact. So, you know, and we counter-proposed, what about a practical Christian environmental project in a country already working, which was Portugal? And they said, well, you'll have to start your own organization, but we'll second you to it, if you like. And that was essentially, we teamed up with a zoologist and his family, and off we went in 1983.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Been doing it ever since.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I can't help but think, Peter, that you know, the world has changed so much, you know, in that time, and it must be a fascinating journey watching that through the lens of caring for creation. And I mean, before we talk about how we maybe look at this in 2024, what trends have you seen, or how have things changed as you've walked this journey?
That's a really good question. And it's interesting, belonging, if you like, to both the conservation movement for 40 years globally and the Christian movement globally as well, and to see some of those changes and the similarities and differences, because they're both missionary movements. They've both got a message. They both believe in it passionately and think it's for everybody. So there are interesting parallels. I would say, starting with the conservation movement, when we began, the focus was very much on wildlife, if you like, animals, birds, species. And I think over those 40 years, we've seen the conservation movement really understand, in a way, a more biblical perspective, which is that people are at the heart of this. They're at the heart of it as the problem. We're now thought to be living in the Anthropocene. That's to say, it's human activity that's really impacting the planet. And we're at the heart of it in terms of potential solutions. It's going to be our efforts and our work and our understanding that will maybe, just maybe, mitigate some of the tremendous damage that human society is currently inflicting on the world. So that's been a big change in conservation from being basically about wildlife, national parks, reserves, protected areas, to essentially understanding this is a global project for everybody to secure life on Earth. We've lost half of life on Earth in the lifetime of Arusha in 40 years. And so this is serious. And then on the Christian side of things, I think, like many, I was initially brought up in a kind of view that sort of thought about a throwaway world. You know, it's all going to burn. Jesus is going to come back. Every problem will be solved and we can walk away. And of course, we've learned now that that isn't biblical Christianity, that actually we hear about the renewal of creation, the renewal of all things in Christ, as Colossians points it out. And there's been much more of a sense that Christian mission itself is not just me, my life, and going to heaven, but it's joining in the big story of God's creation through to new creation, and the redemption in Christ is for, as Paul says in his writings, for all things. And what does that mean? And I've seen a particular sort of transition, if you like, from the 1970s, where with the Lausanne movement, there was an understanding you can't love people if you don't look after their societies and see justice and mercy. And it's not just my personal salvation, but it's what does that mean for all my human relationships? And now we've seen, we're asking ourselves, what does that reconciliation in Christ mean for the whole creation? How do we practice it? How do we show what the character of God is like by how we live in his world? You can't say, you know, you love Rembrandt and trash his paintings, and you can't say you love God and wreck his creation. And people see the church indifferent, and that really worries them about what being a Christian is, because people know the world's in deep trouble now.
So let's talk about how churches practically get involved with this creation care. And I know Arusha does a lot of work around this. For someone who is part of a New Zealand church today going, yeah, actually, I know my own personal ways of doing things, but actually, how can I get my fellow Christian brothers and sisters interested in it as well? What would you say to them?
Well, the great news is, I mean, there's Arusha is now in 20-some countries, and there are several eco-church, if you like, movements. But the one here in this country is really excellent. So you've got great team people to encourage you. You can reach out to them. There's a wonderful website, ecochurch.org.nz, I'm thinking, but something like that.
Yeah.
And there's wonderful resources and stories of lots of other churches who are on the journey. But the one thing I'd say to your listeners is you don't join up when you've already got your life sorted. You don't have to be a wonderfully green church to think about it. You just want to start thinking what it might mean for your community, for your church, and then begin a good journey and learn from others and connect to others. And frankly, we're all at the beginning of what it means to be the body of Christ in his world in a way that blesses creation and doesn't deplete it. And incidentally, the church is the people of God going around in the world too. So it might be business owners, it might be people involved in finance, it might be people running hospitals, whatever it is, Eco Church is there to help you think how you can be a blessing to God's world rather than part of our highly degenerative economy, which is running us up against a lot of walls very fast. And you're seeing it in your own country, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, I'm just aware of time, but before we wrap up, it would really be good to go there because here we live in 2024. Peter, environmental issues are very much, central to a lot of discussion that's happening today. From your perspective as Christians, How do we wrestle with this? Is there a lot of grief, I guess, from younger generations? Is that the word I use to describe it, looking at the way the world is going environmentally? You mentioned, you know, the church perceived as being indifferent. And, you know, we live in a world where there's a lot of activism, you know, moves to really bring this to the forefront. How can we engage without being perhaps lost in it at the same time?
I think the first thing to say is Christians should always engage the way they engage with everything as Christians, and that is by seeking the wisdom of God. We have got the Word of God. We've got good fellowship. We've got all of those things. I'll give you an example of why this matters. We've just completed a European Union study, well-funded actually, in France, to look at French Christian attitudes to the environment. And it was good news and it was bad news. The good news was that the Christians were no more engaged or less engaged than wider society. There are some countries in the world where that wouldn't be the case. And the Christians, for the reasons we mentioned earlier, would be quite disengaged because they've got a poor understanding of what the Bible says about creation. So they were the same as everybody else. The bad news was the reason for that was nothing they were hearing in their churches. It was what they were reading in the newspapers or seeing on the web and the internet and around in the place and just getting from public opinion. So the problem with that is you tend to end up with the environmental approach of your society. And Christian environmental thinking is different in two critical regards. One is we have hope. We do believe it's God's world. He cares about it much more than we do. And we're kind of joining in with his redemptive work. We're not the solely responsible people for it. So that's one essential thing. And then the other thing is I believe that we bring to the task, as well as hope, things that others may be less familiar with, like prayer and like sacrificial living. And we approach it like we approach any other ministry with those, if you like, tools for understanding this is spiritual work. We believe, don't we, that when creation happened, it was because the Spirit of God breathed on the waters. That makes matter supremely important for us. And the same, Jesus, we know, we believe in the resurrection of the body, don't we? He was touched after his resurrection. He's called by Paul the first fruits of the new creation. So for us, when we're dealing with the raw material of creation, it's not just raw material for economic growth. It's not just natural resources. Even the word the environment doesn't really do it for us. We're dealing with the very fingerwork, the Psalms call it, of God, the handiwork of God. So that changes the character of what you're doing. So often it looks the same. We plant the trees the same. We clean up the water the same. You know, we do what we do. But it's done, I believe, in a very different kind of spirit. And I think for Christians, it should come from the heart of their faith. And also, we're not doing it to save the world. The world has a savior. We're doing it as worship, as our response to the living God.
Peter, so good. We could talk for a long time, but our time is up this afternoon. Yeah, really good stuff. Peter Harris, the international founder of Arosha. You mentioned Eco Church. If you want to check it out, ecochurch.org.nz. And the website for Arosha Aotearoa is arosha.org.nz. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today. We so appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. It's been good.